helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director of Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And with me today is Lisa Archer. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Bill. Good to be here.
Before we dive into our conversation, let me give you all a quick bio of Lisa. She is professionally trained as a nurse, BSN, RN, has been in nursing during her professional career, but has also taken on this unique responsibility of being director of simulation and performance assessment at part of the AHA Training Center coordinator at A.T. Still University, which is in Kirksville, part of the Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine, and is currently the CMDA campus advisor, faculty advisor for our CMDA student chapter. So, welcome again, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's good to be here.
Well, let's get a little history moving up to this point, because you are very much involved with CMDA, but you trained as a nurse. You've been in healthcare for many years. How did you hear about CMDA?
So when I first started here in 2014, we have an organized student organization department called Student Life. And so our CMDA student organization is registered through our Student Life department. And when I saw that there was a Christian organization in the Student Life, because there's so many, we have hundreds of organizations, I was just intrigued. And so I went to the first meeting because I learned that faculty and staff can also attend. And so one of my physicians that I had been practicing with at the bedside in a hospital setting for many years was the advisor at that time. And so he invited me to be a part of it. And I loved sitting there with him, just learning from him as well and our students. But then he eventually had to leave, and he asked me to take on the advisor position in his departure, which was just incredibly humbling.
Yes. Humbling and unexpected, I'm sure, as many things have been unexpected. The idea that you'd be at a DO school, I mean, what we were talking before the conversation started, that Kirksville is the home of osteopathic medicine.
Yes.
Just put that into context. How is it the home of osteopathic medicine?
So it seems like most people are more familiar with the MD physician, but then this is the DO physician, the doctor of osteopathic medicine. So MD is allopathic and DO is osteopathic. And so, it all started right here in Kirksville, Missouri, population 17,843 or whatever the number is now. Yes, we have a campus here. We also have a satellite campus in Mesa, Arizona for the DOs, but this is home.
That's great. So you've taken on this role as campus advisor. What have been some of the challenges and maybe opportunities, things you hadn't expected that would be a unique blessing and opportunity for you in this role?
Yeah, so it's been kind of, I guess, a little discouraging in some regards that the numbers that we used to have attending were much more than we have now. Okay. And so we're looking to be a little more creative with ways to invite and get kids plugged into the local church. So I think those are some of the opportunities we have coming up. Our numbers are still consistently 20-ish a week. Our studies are on Tuesday evenings at 6 o'clock. I've gotten a little counsel from my CMDA administrative people in your home that have suggested maybe a noon meeting would be better. And so we're just, as a matter of fact, tonight we're actually having our first exec meeting before the new semester, and that's going to be something we'll bring up. But we used to do a lot more activities outside of our weekly Bible study. I really applaud our kids. They love to dig into the Word. You know, and so that's breathtaking to me that they want to dig into the Word and not do a lot of subject kind of Bible studies or topic Bible studies, that kind of thing. They stay solid, and we take a chapter and dig into it. And the amount of reflection and depth that goes into those weekly studies, I learned so much, and I'm their senior, but I learned so much from these kids and how the Bible has impacted them. So that's the cool thing about this.
Yeah, you have some incredible students that have come through that ministry, some of whom I've had a chance to meet. Abby Gaffner just comes to mind.
Yes.
I mean, she is so impressive. I nominated her, encouraged her to become a student trustee. And I know she's flourished in that role. Just watching her flourish in a residency now, and I imagine there are more like Abby there at AT still.
Yeah. She loves Jesus. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It just drips off of her. She's beautiful inside now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the power of this position, the opportunity of impact is pretty incredible to be a campus advisor. And it's important for us nationally to be able to allow individuals to understand that it's more than just being a name on a piece of paper. Because, you know, student groups more or less have to be able to have a faculty or some kind of campus advisor part of their group to be officially affiliated with the school or institution. But it really, although it may be just to fulfill that one requirement, it's so much more than that. And it's to what you're doing and so many countless other campus advisors are doing, investing and pouring their lives into these students, opening their homes at times. Somebody just mentioned, a student, in fact, said the power of their campus advisor was that they would bring them lunch.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Feed them.
I love it. We have had the whole group come to our home in the past several times, usually like at the end of the semester or Christmas or something like that. Yeah. And my family loves these kids and loves having them in our home. So that is a special opportunity.
Mm. Do you find that there are any challenges in your role, you know, on staff, on faculty, with the administration, with the institution, and what you're able to do with CMDA? There's ever become any tensions or challenges in fulfilling those two obligations?
I don't know if this is unique or not, because honestly, this is my first time being an administrative faculty with a university, a med school. But we have a diversity department, a specific department that focuses on diversity and all things diversity, not just religion. So our student life has multiple religious student organizations. And so they are kind of clear to make sure that they're all equally balanced, per se. So that's been a little different for me. But one of the more interesting, what do you call it when you have a group of panelists? Thank you. Our panel topics, and each student organization, religious student organization, is able to come to the table with a spotlight and a microphone and talk about their particular student their religious organization that they're an officer in. And the reason they do that is so that student physicians are aware of the different kinds of religious patients that they'll be experiencing at the bedside and how they can meet their needs as a physician-patient relationship. So like for Christians, it's important for us to be able to pray together. It's important for us to have, I guess that's the biggest thing. For Catholics, they want to have communion at the time of death, or someone come bless them. And so they wanted to open the platform for all religious denominator or student organizations so the physicians were aware of what kind of patients they might encounter. They've been doing that for several years here. I go every time, support my CMDA kids, and it's very respectful. And I see my kids taking it to the point of an opportunity to reach out to students who don't know Jesus and will actually share the gospel during these meetings. And so that's been a really cool opportunity. But the atheists then get to take the stage next. To see that on our campus just blends us in more than stands us out. So we have to work especially hard to kind of stand out.
Well, you have stood out, and you've marked yourself out as a group of individuals who are noticed. And I say this because you're making an impact. It's not just the holy huddle of Christians gathering at AT Still. You are making an impact, a kingdom impact, in the lives of students that are not yet Christians, those who are in a journey, in a process, walking alongside them in that journey and pointing them to Jesus. And that's going to lead me into where I want to talk about is Monica and the student. And why don't you go ahead and just give us some background as to Monica, how she got connected with CMDA, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the retreat and driving back and all the things that had transpired since.
Yeah, so that was such a special time. I really don't want to cry right now, but that Kingdom Impact thing kind of gets me. Mm-hmm. We had just seen the the winter retreat.
Yes.
Being posted through the CMDA website, and I started digging. We'd never ever been able to attend that before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. Maybe I just didn't. None of our advisors had ever before me even taken a look at it, I don't think. I think that we think about missions trips, you know, spending the whole summer or mm-hmm. several weeks in the summer or some kind of other mission activity where they'll go and they'll offer their medical service to underserved communities. So when this one came along, I thought it just caught my attention, and that had to be God. It was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It was free to attend. They were offering housing, free housing.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can we say no to this?
Right.
And they've taken away every possible excuse for not being able to attend. And so I just took it out to my students, and I was shocked that at the time, 15 wanted to attend. And of course, in the end, it turned out being 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think we only ended up with 8.
So good.
But, you know, it's still amazing to me that Monica was one of those. Mm. And she had been coming occasionally to our Bible study, but not very much.
Okay.
So the girls just invited her to go, and she went, and she was like a bright spot the whole event. It was like seeing her in a more animated way than I'd ever seen her before. And it's because Jesus was just getting a hold of her, you know, and she was feeling his presence and the joy of Jesus and being around Christians. So I did not know that she wasn't saved. And that's where I think campus advisors can get really bogged down, is not making sure. I mean, we have a ministry right in front of us, or we have a mission field right in front of us, and we cannot take that lightly. So anyway, on the way home, some of the questions that she was asking just made me think, this girl has never asked Jesus into her heart. And so I just started asking the questions, and it's three girls packed up on top of each other with luggage everywhere, and one girl up front with luggage everywhere, and me driving. And we're sardines in there. And so it was like kind of a captive audience driving 70 miles an hour down the highway. And so I just started asking the question. She couldn't run from me, right? Mm. So she says, no, I've never done that before.
Mm.
And all of us were just like, oh, just kind of like we are on holy ground right now. And so it was just, you know, asking her the questions about her relationship. And she asked the Lord in her heart on our way home from that retreat. In the car.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know how you keep driving. That's such a surreal moment to have a person come to faith and to do so and be able to walk with them through that process.
Yeah.
She's back at school. She's involved in, I think you mentioned you have a very strong partnership with a local church. I assume that that's a real gateway for her for some discipleship and growth too.
Yeah, our president at the time attended one of our local churches and actually led Monica through baptism at her church. And her family, I think some of her family was able to be there, but they did get her in on a Zoom call. And so they could be a part of it and see the whole thing. So yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, that is fantastic. That is it's an incredible reminder to me that people are still encountering Jesus, even in med school, you know. And I think, I say even in med school, because, you know, sometimes you think students who come to med school have it all figured out. They've got everything nice and tidy and orderly, and they most likely are thinking, well, I'm much more naturalistic and materialistic. I'm not going to think about spiritual things having any relevance. But in some ways, medical school and dental school and all of these training programs, they really can strip away those pretenses, some of the self-confidence, and they can become doorways for gathering and capturing people's hearts.
You're so right.
People come into Christ in medical school and dental school all the time, and it's fascinating and it's encouraging to continue to be able to hear those stories. They're just a great reminder, I think, to your point is we can make assumptions and believe that people may know Christ, but you don't ever know who's God's bringing to our student groups. And obviously the student group there at the A.T. Still was such that it was a safe enough environment that Monica felt like she could attend, even with the questions she had, even with maybe not all the certainty, but she felt like she could be a part of that group. And I think it says a lot about the group you've cultivated, that it's a welcoming group. And only sinners need to attend.
All of us, right? Yeah, you're so right. I think you really speak well about how sometimes they really get into their insecurities when they're in med school. And that is so right. My prayer for them every week, I ask if I can pray every week if they ask. And my prayer is always, Lord, remind these students that you have appointed them to be here. They are only here because of your divine appointment, because med school is hard to get into. How many people apply and are chosen, and yet there's so many that aren't. And so when things get hard, and it does, med school is hard, dental school is hard. And so they just need to be reminded that God brought them here.
Yes.
And so I remind them of that every week. There is a reason you're in this chair, in this moment, in this Bible study, learning about Jesus and focusing on Jesus, because this is what's going to get you through. And he has you here for a reason.
Well, and they need to cling to Christ for the now and the not yet. The thing in the future is looming over them. His residency is matching.
Right.
And so the pressure is just compounded. Not just medical school is just the one step. It's really it's getting that residency, which causes a lot of anxiety and stress and fear. But
which I really am excited about. There was a study that you all offered last year for the physician, the Christian physician. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but we pulled away from our weekly Bible study and we did a snippet of a Bible study, but that went into the videos and
The Faith RX?
Yes. We did that. It was so good. And the thing I loved about that was it helped the students who are moving into the healthcare field to actually have someone living that, being able to speak to them. And so the kinds of decisions that they're going to be encountering in the future, they can't do that without Jesus.
Well, so, and you're in a unique, being a osteopathic school, you mentioned this, but I had an osteopathic student even mention this to me the other day. Just the invitation that osteopathic medicine provides to bring faith in, because it's that whole person care mindset.
Yes, including the spiritual side.
Including the spiritual side, exactly.
Yeah, it's very good.
Well, I just want to thank you personally for serving in the ways that you are, giving away your life, your time, and just praying and being present with these young men and women and helping them jumpstart this journey where, the key for these young men and women is that they are not just doctors who happen to be Christians. They're going to be they're Christians first who happen to are becoming physicians.
Yes.
And letting their helping them to see how they bring their faith to bear, integrating it with medicine, helping them become, Jesus did this so much in his ministry. He combined the preaching and the healing, the gospel ministry, the kingdom work, and the works that they're doing are so integrally connected and tied together. They've got an incredible opportunity to be Christ followers in the space of healthcare, especially in these days with these cultural currents, the way they're coming at us. More than ever, we need courageous men and women to stand for their faith. So
that's so great.
Well, thank you for being a part of that and helping to orchestrate that. Is there anything you would say, to maybe to other professionals who may be at schools who maybe haven't taken advantage of this opportunity to be a campus advisor? I think that is, again, an opportunity that I don't think is often explored well enough for, I mean, there are some like yourself who do it so well. Too many, though, I think, probably find themselves just a name on a piece of paper fulfilling a requirement, but they can do so much more. How would you encourage your fellow professionals, perhaps, in these settings to be able to engage more with the students around them?
Well, first of all, I have to be an accountable Christian. Mm. I mean, so the thing that I found God really impressed on me was, and we just had this in our church service last night, our pastor mm-hmm. spoke to this, that I'm a Christian first, and you just said this, I'm a Christian first, mm-hmm. and I am an employee second.
Right.
So, and my employment should be about advancing the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So that was really impactful to me, and then you just reiterated. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool. Thank you, Lord, for that. But so if I'm going to be accountable, then mm-hmm. I have to put myself in places that I'm going to be accountable. Mm-hmm. So the way I do that then is to be a Christian first, but mm-hmm. be an employee is to use that opportunity mm-hmm. to get in and be an advisor. It mm-hmm. just was really more accountability driven mm-hmm. than anything. But one thing that we've done pretty well, I never want to get comfortable with this, but making sure that all of our students are plugged into a local church. Mm. And so, of course, I want them all to come to my church. Right? And so all of our students have a church home. Okay. All of our officers mm. specifically have a church home. But they will offer the list of churches in our community. Mm-hmm. And then they will say, I will take you to whichever church you want mm-hmm. to go for our first year students are coming in, and at least start trying to get that yeah. culture going as well so that we don't miss that.
That's real important because getting that opportunity and discipline of carving that time out, attending,
right.
you know, being part of the body life, attending worship. Yeah. I've seen other groups do it. They'll offer a list of churches, and they'll even put a little bit of a activity behind it. They'll call it a church crawl, and they'll say, okay, we're going to go to this church this Sunday, and so you can sample all the churches, and they can do it together. Oh, I think you're getting an idea.
I write that down. That's a good one.
Okay.
Church crawl, I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's essential. As you mentioned, you know, with Monica, when she came back, it was a church that can come alongside her, you know, help her through baptism and be part of her discipleship. So the churches are a key part of this, and we don't want to overlook that as such an important opportunity.
Right.
Well, Lisa, again, thank you so much for, again, what you're doing at AT Still and the ways that God is at work. And we, again, are excited about students like Abby and others that are coming through that ministry, just shining the light of Christ in their new endeavors as residents and beyond. So this is setting them on a trajectory. I pray and hope that they will glorify and honor God with their life and vocation. So,
absolutely.
Again, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you to all of CMDA. I pray for you guys too. You all are doing great things to support us out here, and we couldn't appreciate you more.
Well, this is the time of the podcast where we share some things that you need to know. First of all, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the CMDA Student Life app. Let me tell you, this is the place where we communicate, we give you the resources and everything you need to stay connected with CMDA. On the app, you can join CMDA. And that's one thing we encourage you to do. Stay connected with CMDA by joining. And here's the good news. As a student, joining is absolutely free, but the resources you're going to get are priceless. So stay connected with CMDA by joining. Also through the Student Life app, there's resources for downloadable Bible studies. The podcast is on there and all kinds of ways to stay connected and be informed about CMDA. So download that app and get connected. Also, one last thing that you need to know is if you want to stay connected with some of the more late-breaking news and information, we're on the socials. We're on the Facebook, the X, and Instagram. And so simply find us at the handle at CMDA Student Life, and we've got all kinds of information there as well. So, as always, we look forward to talking to you next time on the next episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.